Chapter 16. We take a zebra to Vegas. The war god was waiting for us in the diner parking lot.
"Well, well," he said. "You didn't get yourself killed."
"You knew it was a trap," I said. Ares gave me a wicked grin.
"Bet that crippled blacksmith was surprised when he netted a couple of stupid kids. You look good on TV."
I shoved his shield at him. "You're a jerk." Annabeth and Grover caught their breath. Ares grabbed the shield and spun it in the air like pizza dough. It changed form, melting into a bulletproof vest. He slung it across his back.
"See that truck over there?"
He pointed to an 18-wheeler parked across the street from the diner.
"That's your ride. Take you straight to L.A., with one stop in Vegas."
The 18-wheeler had a sign on the back, which I could read only because it was reverse-printed white on black, a good combination for dyslexia. "Kindness International, Humane Zoo Transport, Warning, Live Wild Animals." I said, "You're kidding." Ares snapped his fingers. The back door of the truck unlatched.
"Free ride, West, punk. Stop complaining, and here's a little something for doing the job."
He slung a blue nylon backpack off his handlebars and tossed it to me. Inside were fresh clothes for all of us, $20 in cash, a pouch full of golden drachmas, and a bag of double-stuffed Oreos. I said, "I don't want your lousy..." "Thank you, Lord Ares," Grover interrupted, giving me his best red alert warning look. "Thanks a lot." I gritted my teeth. It was probably a deadly insult to refuse something from a god, but I didn't want anything that Ares had touched. Reluctantly, I slung the backpack over my shoulder. I knew my anger was being caused by the war god's presence, but I was still itching to punch him in the nose. He reminded me of every bully I'd ever faced. Nancy Bobafit, Clarice, Smelly Gabe, sarcastic teachers, every jerk who'd called me stupid in school or laughed at me when I'd gotten expelled. I looked back at the diner, which had only a couple of customers now. The waitress who'd served us dinner was watching nervously out the window, like she was afraid Ares might hurt us. She dragged the fry cook out from the kitchen to see. She said something to him. He nodded, held up a little disposable camera, and snapped a picture of us. "Great," I thought. "We'll make the papers again tomorrow." I imagined the headline, 12-year-old outlaw beats up defenseless biker. "You owe me one more thing," I told Ares, trying to keep my voice level. "You promised me information about my mother."
"You sure you can handle the news?"
He kick-started his motorcycle.
"She's not dead."
The ground seemed to spin beneath me. "What do you mean?"
"I mean she was taken away from the Minotaur before she could die. She was turned into a shower of gold, right? That's metamorphosis, not death. She's being kept."
"Kept? Why?"
"You need to study war, punk. Hostages. You take somebody to control somebody else."
"Nobody's controlling me." He laughed.
"Ha ha ha. Oh yeah? See you around, kid."
I balled up my fists. "You're pretty smug, Lord Ares, for a guy who runs from Cupid statues." Behind his sunglasses, fire glowed. I felt the hot wind in my hair.
"We'll meet again, Percy Jackson. Next time you're in a fight, watch your back."
He revved his Harley, then roared off down Delancey Street. Annabeth said, "That was not smart, Percy." "I don't care. You don't want a god as your enemy, especially not that god." "Hey, guys," Grover said. "I hate to interrupt, but..." He pointed toward the diner. At the register, the last two customers were paying their check. Two men in identical black coveralls with a white logo on their backs that matched the one on the Kindness International truck. "If we're taking the Zoo Express," Grover said, "we need to hurry." I didn't like it, but we had no better option. Besides, I'd seen enough of Denver. We ran across the street and climbed in the back of the big rig, closing the doors behind us. The first thing that hit me was the smell. It was like the world's biggest pan of kitty litter. The trailer was dark inside until I uncapped Anaklismos. The blade cast a faint bronze light over a very sad scene. Sitting in a row of filthy metal cages were three of the most pathetic zoo animals I'd ever beheld. A zebra, a male albino lion, and some weird antelope thing I didn't know the name for. Someone had thrown the lion a sack of turnips, which he obviously didn't want to eat. The zebra and the antelope had each gotten a styrofoam tray of hamburger meat. The zebra's mane was matted with chewing gum, like somebody had been spitting on it in their spare time. The antelope had a stupid silver birthday balloon tied to one of its horns that read, "Over the Hill." Apparently, nobody had wanted to get close enough to the lion to mess with him, but the poor thing was pacing around on soiled blankets in a space way too small for him, panting from the stuffy heat of the trailer. He had flies buzzing around his pink eyes, and his ribs showed through his white fur. "This is kindness," Grover yelled. "Humane zoo transport?" He probably would have gone right back outside to beat up the truckers with his reed pipes, and I would have helped him. But just then, the truck's engine roared to life, the trailer started shaking, and we were forced to sit down or fall down. We huddled in the corner on some mildewed feed sacks, trying to ignore the smell and the heat and the flies. Grover talked to the animals with a series of goat bleats, but they just stared at him sadly. Annabeth was in favor of breaking the cages and freeing them on the spot, but I pointed out it wouldn't do too much good until the truck stopped moving. Besides, I had a feeling we might look a lot better to the lion than those turnips. I found a water jug and refilled their bowls, then used Anaklismos to drag the mismatched food out of their cages. I gave the meat to the lion and the turnips to the zebra and the antelope. Grover calmed the antelope down, while Annabeth used her knife to cut the balloon off his horn. She wanted to cut the gum out of the zebra's mane too, but we decided that would be too risky with the truck bumping around. We told Grover to promise the animals we'd help them more in the morning. Then we settled in for night.